Hello, everyone, and welcome here on Patchwork Cards Radio. I'm your host, Bill Snyder. This is our podcast episode of Young Catholics Respond. And on today's episode of Young Catholics Respond, I am elated to be joined here by Barbara Olenek. Barbara grew up in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and was born in Milford, Connecticut, where she resides currently. She came from a large musical Catholic family where she began to write music at the age of 11. She attributes music to saving her life. Right out of high school, she attended the licensed practical nurse program at St. Vincent's Hospital and entered college 2 years later to get her BSN, and ultimately ended up with a BS in English. In 1999, she completed her Master's of Fine Arts in Musical Theater from NYU's Tisch School of the Arts. She is the creator of the Miracle of Fatima musical, and I am so excited to be joined by Barbara here tonight. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Bill. Thank you.
All right, so let's jump to it. Barbara, how has this musical came to be? Tell me this genesis, the story
oh my
of
goodness.
How this happened.
Well, it wasn't something that I woke up one morning and said, oh, okay, I think I'll write a story about Fatima. I believe that it was given to me to do. I had been away from church for about 13 years, and I was invited back in the beginning of the Lent season in 1997. And I'll tell you, I sat in the pews there listening to the people sing and pray as one family, and I remembered how that made me feel, and I missed it. So I started going back. And at the same time, I submitted my application to NYU's Tisch School of the Arts Graduate Writing Musical Theater Program. Now, what's really interesting about this is that I've never had any formal music training. I came from a very musical family. I can sing, and I would create musicals that way. I would hire a composer or a musician, and I would go and sing, and he or she would notate music, and then I would record it, bring it back home, and I would create harmonies and counter melodies, and I'd go back and they would notate. So I was not afraid, and I knew that I could write musicals. I had written musicals and I had produced them. But to submit to this graduate program, and I really had no idea the level of musicianship that the people who applied. 2,000 people a year applied to this program from around the globe. They invite in 22.
Wow.
And here I was. I was a nurse with an English degree who could sing. And lo and behold, I got in.
Wow.
And that the beginning of the fall, I remember listening to the bios for the people, and they had graduate degrees from here and graduates from there, and and I was an LPN with a degree in English, and I said, okay, well, I also was the only one of the 22 that did not live in Manhattan. I used to work. I lived in Connecticut in Milford, and I would work double shifts at the hospital, and. So that's what I did. And I was also older. And by the spring of the end of the first year of graduate school, I was going to daily mass. I didn't, not until years later did I start connecting all of these things, but I was drawn to the rosary, and I went to St. Gabe's every single morning, 9 o'clock mass. And then one morning, after I had already gotten the approval for my thesis project, which I was writing a musical about me, literally, I was doing an adaptation of my autobiography. I must have been maybe about 2 or 3 weeks into it. So the end of May, I was running on the beach praying my rosary, and a voice as real as you, Bill. You must write about the Marian apparitions. And I turned around. I thought somebody was behind me. I said, what the heck? And it was, I can still hear it today. It was that profound. And I just kept running. And I thought of Song of Bernadette. I thought of Medjugorje. I thought, these were things. Fatima wasn't a thought in my mind. I came home after finishing my rosary, got in the shower, and it happened again. And I found out online after researching that over 8,000 appearances since 40 AD, since Saragossa, Spain, of the Blessed Mother. And one of the nurses at work was starting a Rosary Society for Children at St. Jude's, and she said, oh, I've got some films on visits. Let me give them to you. So I started watching. I tried it for about 3 weeks, and I pulled all this information, and then I just said, I can't do this. This is totally ridiculous. I'm not worthy of doing it, for one thing. And I left what I called my writing room, but I left that room not with my rosary beads. I left with anger. I left with unworthiness. I left with doubt. And I went running on the beach in the rain. And I came back after about an hour, and I went back upstairs into that room, and it was filled with the scent of roses. And I was, wow, what the heck is this? And other people would come into the house. It lasted for a week. Nowhere else. I'd bring them upstairs, and without saying anything, and it was just filled with the scent of roses. And I found out online that was one of the ways the Blessed Mother makes herself known. And so I just went, okay, I'll do this. I'm taking this as a sign. And don't leave me, because I don't know what I don't know what I'm doing. So that was how it began. Originally, it was called the Mother of God, and it involved 5 different visits. All the other visits fell away, and Fatima stood alone.
When all these other apparitions fell away, because, yes, as you said, they did, and Fatima was left alone. Why do you think that happened? Why is this message of Fatima so important, and especially so important for our time today, in our times today?
I think the message of Fatima is so relevant today, even more so, because it's eschatological in nature. The third secret, which talks about end times. You know, when you look at scripture and revelations and the apocalypse and all of these different things, and this is not to frighten people. This is not to do anything other than, you know, life is not, it's finite. There's a beginning and there's an end. And every day that we breathe, we have the opportunity to be the Word of God every day. And when we make that choice, a conscious choice, and it becomes a way of life, that is living the Fatima message. It is, we have gone so far away from the intention of God, from the goodness of what we where we come from.
So will you tell me just a little bit about what people are going to encounter in the experience of this? You know, The story is just incredible, but, you know, when they show up for this 2-hour musical, what are some of the highlights? You know, what is the program? I don't want you to spoil it, although people probably can go on and read about it and hear
and
the music clips
see the show. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, it literally is. I kept it historically accurate. It begins on the Feast of St. Joseph.
Okay.
To establish the oppression, the religious oppression that there, the country is in. We're in the middle of World War I, however, and Portugal is neutral. But in 1910, there was a law of separation enacted, which forbidding public worship. So there was a huge separation between a largely Catholic country, nearly 85% Catholic country, and most of them were the peasants, farmers and whatnot. And so it begins at that note. It actually begins with the prologue, Sister Lucia, and the theater is dark, and you hear her words, saying, you know, what, you know, something happened to her and her two cousins. And then we go immediately into May 13th. It moves very, very quickly. The we historically have not shown the image of the Blessed Mother, although when we were at the last scene in the Dominican, we did have a silhouette of her from rear projection. And this time around, because it will be in a fixed location, we want to go pull out all the stops for special effects.
Okay.
The children see scenes of heaven, scenes of hell. They right now, the voice of the Blessed Mother is heard through music. We don't, and which is good because it allows, it keeps the mystery. And if I can tell you, the children are facing out, so they're facing the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can tell you how many people, because I stand in the back and I watch, and they are, every child that we've had in this show is so phenomenal. And people keep looking over their shoulder. They keep thinking they're going to see something.
Yeah.
Because they're the actors, that's the caliber of show. This is not a pageant. This is a full professional musical that was written for Broadway. And all the special effects. We want to recreate the miracle of the sun, the scent of roses, the colors of the rainbow, and that sky that is cloudy, and then the dance of the sun. And we'll do it.
Of course. You know, that's the amazing thing about our technology in today's world.
I know it.
Everything
at
is
this moment
possible.
In time.
Yes, everything is possible when it comes to technology and God. Bells and whistles are important to draw people in. You know, the
mm-hmm.
people on the you know, that are struggling, that they need sometimes the candy before they get to the meat and potatoes of what Catholicism is all about. And so, you know, it's important that we as Catholics recognize that and can have a little bit of that wow factor. Not that it's the substance of what we do, but that wow factor allows people to go, hey, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. Those boring Catholics do something like this. They got a dancing sun and everything. Like, wait a minute. And we shock their understanding a little bit about what it means to be truly Catholic and what it means. And they're like, oh, wait, maybe I should look into this more. And then they delve more and more into the truth, as you're talking about earlier. And we have what... You know, we have somebody who's radically converted to Catholicism, and that's the power of your musical and the success that your musical has. I hope that it continues. For those of you who are wondering about this whole St. Ambrose Church thing, you know, you are building or you're reopening this church to show the musical in it.
And this is where we need your help.
Yes,
because we need your help to spread the word, because we do need to raise money in order to make that happen. We hire professional actors.
Right.
We have to create all these amazing special effects. So we're trying to capitalize at least $300,000, which is not a lot of money considering the whole scheme of things. Mm-hmm. And then what we don't really need all of it. We can do with half. And then we begin the ticket sales. The bishop, the best part of it is the bishop has said yes.
No, that's
and
wonderful.
That's the biggest thing. And then, so we're hoping, we were going to try to shoot for May. It's too, we're not, we need more time than that. So we're probably looking at a July or August opening, but we will open this year. But how
Fantastic.
Can they help people help? They can go to the website. If they want to make a donation, they're more than welcome to, and get a free download of the songs. However you would like to, we're open. The business plan is there if people want to invest and get a return. It's
That's awesome.
They can do whatever they want to. And it's FatimaMusical.com.
That's right. FatimaMusical.com. Yeah.
That's right.
And so please, you know, those of you listening, you know, this is going to be a beautiful, hopefully a beautiful experience at St. Ambrose Church. And we hope that it opens and that.
Oh, it will. It will.
I know.
There's
no hope. That's right. We hope it opens with vigor, maybe. And we hope it opens with many people selling it out and every night. And that would be just a beautiful, beautiful thing to make permanent this
yes.
incredible work. So I want to thank you so much for spending part of your evening with me.
I thank you. I thank you for having me.
So yes, you're listening to Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio, Radio 4, The Catholic Heart. Until next time, keep beating to your Catholic hearts. I'm your host, Bill Snyder.